Morning, church. You know, one of the joys of coming together each Sunday to service is the chance to meet one another. So before you sit for the next 1 hour listening to me, why don't you get up to your feet, go to five people to say you look great this morning. Come on. Put a smile on your face and mean it, all right? Hallelujah. I'm particularly glad that I could make it back this week, actually, because 2 days ago, I was very tempted to call for SOS, you know, because I totally lost my voice 2 days ago. You know, probably God knows that I always complain that my voice is too high-pitched for a preaching voice. Today, a bit more low. Okay, today we shall return to our series on the values to do good. All right. For the benefit of those who are newer to the church or have not been following the series, the theme of the church this year is pleasing God by knowing Him more and good works. I've been preaching a series of sermons on the values to do good. You know, to do good to others, there are some values that we ought to possess and grow in. And that was what the series was aimed to achieve, for us to reflect on some of these values that we need to grow in so that we continue to be sought and liked to the world that we live in. In the first part of the series, we studied the value of generosity. We discussed how important it is for us to have a generous spirit to do good. Then in the second part of the series, we discussed the value of servanthood. And because if we do not even possess a willingness to serve one another, to serve others, we will find it difficult to do good. The third installment was focused on the values of kindness and compassion, on how important these values are for us to even genuinely want to do good to others. And in the fourth installment, I spoke on the need for impartiality in doing good. And I pointed out that actually, even in doing good to others, sometimes we can, you know, discriminate who we want to do good to. And I was encouraging us to learn to be impartial in doing good to others. Now today, I'll be preaching my last sermon of 2025, and I would like to end the year with an appropriate sermon to wrap up the year, and it's coming to the end of the year as well. So at the same time, I would really want to conclude this series and not leave it hanging. So I asked the Lord for a word, an appropriate word for you, and the Lord then dropped the word gratitude onto my spirit. And I thought that would be an appropriate word for us to conclude the year. At the same time, we thought, you know, the value of gratitude is so important for us to possess in order to do good to others. I will point out why is that so later. You know, we should look back at the year and give thanks. We should give thanks no matter if this has been a good year or a relatively not as good year for some of us. This is because if we take a step back and reflect on the year, surely there are many things that we ought to thank God for, even if it has been a relatively difficult year for some of us. At the same time, having a grateful heart can inspire us and should inspire us to pass on this blessing to others. So let us end this year in gratitude, and also end the series by looking at how gratitude can inspire us to do good. I've entitled the sermon, Gratitude, What Shall I Return to the Lord for His Goodness? I took these words from the passage that we will study today, and later I will explain more about this verse, all right, and this sermon topic. Let's look at Psalms 116, right, this morning. If I have a Bible with you, turn to your Bible, otherwise follow us on the screen. And I'm reading from the NIV translation. It says, I love the Lord for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all His goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Let us turn to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to come and open up our hearts and our minds to receive the word even this morning, shall we? Father God, indeed, we want to again thank you for this privilege to be gathered, to be able to gather as a spiritual family, to not just to fellowship with one another, but also to praise you, to honor you, to bring glory to you. Because we know that, Lord, you are indeed truly in this place. Lord, even right now, in your presence, we want to sit at your footstool, open up our minds and our hearts and our spirit to receive the word that, Lord, you want us to receive even this morning. Lord, cause us to reflect on what is being said today, reflect on what the psalmist is trying to teach us today. And may that, Father, may that heart of gratitude wells up from our spirit, Father, even this morning. For we praise you in the Lord's most precious name and let all God's people say, Amen. From Psalms 116, I want to share with you two key thoughts for today. Firstly, we will look at verse 1 to 11 for what I call the reasons for our gratitude. The psalmist was actually listing a series of reasons for his thankfulness to the Lord. And they are found in verse 1 to 11. We'll look at that later. Then we will look at verses 12 to 19 for what I call our response to His goodness. The psalmist then went on to point out that because God has been good to him, you know, there are certain things, you know, that he should do. Or he responded to God in certain manner to God's goodness. And we will look at that. Let's first look at verse 1 to 11 for the reasons for our gratitude. You know, while it is not definite who the author of Psalm 116 was, many Bible scholars determine that King David likely wrote the psalm. They determine that David could have written the psalm when he was pursued for his life, and the psalm was a declaration of his gratitude and faith despite the challenges that he was facing or had faced. Hence, we can conclude that the circumstances in which he wrote the psalm was not when David was actually enjoying the good times, but even when he was going through very difficult times. He expressed his gratitude to God even when he was going through that difficult period of his life. But as it was not conclusive that David was the author of the psalm, for the remainder of this sermon, I will refer him as the psalmist, all right? Oftentimes, when preachers share on the topic of gratitude, it could evoke two responses. If we are going through good times, it will be easy for us to be grateful and to give thanks. But for those of us going through tough times, and a preacher comes along and asks us to be grateful, in my son's language, it will be, "What is this guy on, man?" You know, simply put, how can I relate to your message on gratitude when I'm in such a difficult time? Let me qualify that it will be indeed not easy to respond in gratitude during tough times. But today, let us draw inspiration from the psalmist. If the author was indeed David, he challenged himself to see the goodness of God even in difficult times. He challenged himself to be grateful for many things despite his challenges. And more than that, he asked himself how he could repay God for His goodness. And that was the context of Psalm 116. Let me begin this study with an important anchor verse in Psalm 116. And that is verse 12. Verse 12, it says, "What shall I return to the Lord for all His goodness to me?" What shall I return to the Lord for all His goodness to me? In the NLT translation, it says, "What can I offer the Lord for all He has done for me?" See, this verse serves as a crucial connecting verse in Psalms 116. From verse 1 to 11, the psalmist reflected on the reasons we should be grateful to God for. Then in verse 12, he then asked himself what he should return to the Lord for the Lord's goodness in his life. Hence, when the psalmist listed all the things that God has done for him from verses 1 to 11, he was actually recounting all the reasons for his gratitude to God. That led him to the question in verse 12, "What can I return to God for all His goodness?" This is also where I took the words for the sermon title for today. Today, after reflecting on the goodness of God, the question is for us also, what should our response be? Should our response be one of thankfulness and nothing else? Or can we follow the example of the psalmist and ask ourselves what we could do in return for God's goodness to us? Verse 13 to 19 then focus on the psalmist's challenge to himself on his response to God's goodness. I pray that today we will do likewise and respond to God even as after we reflected on the many reasons that we should be thankful to God for. That is why I said earlier that gratitude is a value that we also need to grow in. And it's also important for us to grow in the value of gratitude if we want to learn to pass on this goodness and our thankfulness and do good to others. When we reflect on the goodness of God, it must also inspire us to continue to do good. Let me now elaborate. So what are the reasons for our gratitude to God? Why? Why should we be grateful to God? Let's look at verse 1 to 4 for the very first thing that the psalmist said. The psalmist said that he is grateful to God because God is a God who hears his prayers for mercy. In verse 1 to 4, you know, it reminds us that God hears our cries for mercy. The NLT version says the Lord hears our prayers for mercy. Then in verse 2, we are told that the Lord turned his ear to us. Well, the NLT translates verse 2 as he, God, bends down to listen. Is it to turn one's ears and bending down to listen, you know, give us an image of someone not only listening, but who is willing and eager to listen. This assures us that when we cry out to God for mercy and help, the Lord listens. This is our God. We have a God who not only instructs us to call out to Him in prayer, but He assures us that our God is one who leans forward, who bends down and eager to listen to our cries and prayers and for mercy. We have a God who is willing to listen to our prayers for help and mercy. Verse 3 and 4 then tells us that when we are in danger, in distress or in sorrow, we can call upon the name of the Lord. The psalmist was recounting how God hears his cries and his prayers when he was going through great danger, distress, and sorrow. And this was the reason for his gratitude to the Lord. God is a God who saves. And that was what the psalmist then declared in verse 4. And our God, my God, is a God who saves. How about us? Maybe our lives were not in danger or in great distress like the psalmist, but have we cried out to the Lord for help? And He answered. Even if we have not gotten the answer that we seek in our prayers, are we still convinced and confident that God is the God who bends down to listen to our prayers? And as we recall that we have a God like this, should we then be grateful? Should we have a grateful heart and thankful that we have a God who not only is willing to listen to our cries, who is also willing to respond to our cries? So that was the first reason that the psalmist gave, that, you know, he was grateful to the Lord. Let's move on. Verse 5 tells us that God is gracious, righteous, and compassionate. And the psalmist was saying that he is grateful to the Lord Because the Lord is one, is a God who is gracious, righteous, and compassionate. Verse 5, the Lord is gracious and righteous, our God is full of compassion. What does having a gracious and compassionate God mean to us? Let us understand the context in which the psalmist said that. While the psalmist was not specific why he said God was gracious and righteous and compassionate to him, the preceding verses told us that his life was threatened and that he was in great distress and sorrow. And in that context, the Lord was gracious and compassionate towards him. The Lord preserved his life, and he probably experienced the comfort and compassion of the Lord. In that context, he declared that the Lord was gracious to him. He was perhaps placing his trust in God to vindicate him, the righteous God who will vindicate him. God dispenses grace and compassion towards us even though we can be undeserving of it. God is a righteous God. But beyond the specific context of the psalm, what does having a gracious, compassionate, and righteous God mean to us? Firstly, we should constantly remind ourselves that it is through the grace and compassion of the Lord that we can be forgiven of our sins, safe into His kingdom, and we can come boldly before God. Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God." That is the greatest demonstration of the grace of God. We should always be grateful for that and not take it for granted. Why do we often sing worship songs? And today we did quite a number of them, you know, remembering that Jesus went to the cross on our behalf. Why do we have this practice of taking communion often, and in this church we do it every week? Why is that so? You know, it is to remind us of the greatest gift, the greatest demonstration of God's compassion, of God's grace upon our lives. But the sad truth is that sometimes Christians, you know, we can take some of these symbols for granted. We can take some of these memories or remembrance for granted. I hoped, you know, we will never take this greatest gift of God, the greatest demonstration of God's grace upon our lives for granted. But instead, as we recall this wonderful grace of the Lord upon our lives, it should evoke a gratitude in our lives, always. Secondly, having a gracious and compassionate God also reminds us that God remembers that we are a people with a sinful nature, and He is compassionate towards us. He is slow to anger and always loving us despite of what we have done and what we will do. Psalms 145, verse 8 to 9, it says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate." The same words that the psalmist used as well. It says, it went on to elaborate that, our God is slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. We should be grateful for the grace and the compassion of the Lord towards us. And that God remembers that, you know, we are humans that can fall, but God is always willing to dispense His grace, His compassion, and His love towards us. And then the psalmist also reminded us in Psalms 116 that our God is a righteous God. God is a righteous God. Psalms 145, verse 17, it also says that the Lord is righteous in all His ways and faithful in all He does. What does having a righteous God mean to us? And why should we be grateful for a righteous God? It means that our God is without sin, and withhold and upholds a consistent standard of justice, even though He is compassionate and gracious. God doesn't change His rules like our insurance companies do. You know? Yeah, because somebody was just talking to me about how insurance companies keep changing things. Sorry to those who are in the business, right? God doesn't change His policy like a new president or a new prime minister do. God is gracious and compassionate, but He doesn't compromise justice. You know how important this truth is? That God is gracious and compassionate, but yet at the same time, He doesn't compromise justice. This is what it means to have a gracious, compassionate, and righteous God all in one.
Proverbs 17:15, it says, acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord detests them both. We can cry out to God for help when we are unfairly treated and ask God to vindicate us. We have a righteous God. When we are deserving of our punishment and we are forgiven, that is the grace and the compassion of God. See, God is gracious and compassionate and is righteous at the same time, and that is a beautiful and powerful truth of our God. And in this God who is righteous, compassionate, and gracious at the same time, we need to be thankful. Have we experienced the compassion and grace of God? Be thankful for it. Above all, we should constantly be grateful for the saving grace of God. Have we experienced the justice from our righteous God? If so, be thankful for it. If we are still waiting for the grace and the justice of the Lord, be thankful that the Lord has been preserving us for that moment to come. And that is the next thing that I want to talk about. That we should be thankful for a God who preserves us. This was the third reason that the psalmist gave in Psalms 116 for his gratitude to the Lord, because he says God is a God who preserved him, who protected him. See, verse 6, he says, the Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. In the New King James Version, it says, the Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. The Lord preserves. And in verse 8 to 9, it says, for you, Lord, had delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The psalmist was going through great tribulations and challenges, but the Lord preserved him. His life was threatened, but he was preserved from harm and from death. And the psalmist was grateful to the Lord for this preservation of his life. Through the example of the psalmist, we can see that in life, there can be challenges and troubles. God did not say that there's no troubles and challenges in our lives when we give our lives to him. But through the example, we could see that even in life, there can be challenges and troubles, but God will preserve us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9, it says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. This is an important verse to help us understand God's preservation. God did not say that we will not be hard-pressed. God did not say that we will not be perplexed. We will not be persecuted, nor we will be struck down. There will be times in our lives when we can be persecuted and struck down. There will be times when we are hard-pressed and even perplexed as to why certain things are happening to us, since God is protecting us. God did not say that these things will not happen to us. But God promised that he will preserve us from being crushed. God will preserve us from being in despair. And we will not be abandoned by him. We can be struck down, but we will not be destroyed. And in this God who preserves us, we should be grateful. Look at the example of Job in the Old Testament. Job was tested at all fronts. In fact, his testing was so severe that I wish none of us will even go through part of what he went through. You know, he lost his family, he lost his wealth, he lost his health. And he came to a point that he questioned why God had allowed these things to happen to him. But was God with him throughout? The answer is yes. Was he preserved by God, even though he was going through those challenges and tribulation? Yes, because none of those testing by Satan was beyond what God had allowed. Did Job go through severe challenges? Yes, but God preserved him. I know it will not be easy to appreciate this when we are going through difficult challenges in life, but we can be grateful that God still preserves our lives no matter what challenges we are going through. We can be grateful that God is with us and that nothing that we are experiencing is beyond the control of our God. We can pray and be grateful that we can be down, but not out. We can be afflicted, but not defeated. Let me move on to the next thing that the psalmist suggests, that we should remember to have a heart of gratitude to the Lord. And that is found in verse 7. The psalmist declared in verse 7, "Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." He summed it all up to say that, yes, my God is a God who hears my prayers. My God is a God who preserves me. But beyond all these things, I want to declare that I should be grateful to my God because the Lord has been good to me. And that was what the psalmist said. Despite all that he went through and was going through, the psalmist declared that the Lord has been good to him. Was that a declaration of faith for future deliverance? Or was it a declaration of God's past and current blessing despite his trials? I interpreted it as latter because the NIV translated it, "The Lord has been good." It means, you know, he was reflecting of the Lord's goodness in the past and current. In the NKJV, he translated the verse as, "The Lord has dealt bountifully with you." The psalmist was keenly aware of the challenges that he was facing, but he called into remembrance the blessings of God in his life. He recalled how the Lord has dealt bountifully with him. He even declared that his soul can return into that state of rest when he recalled that the Lord has been good to him. See, very often we fail to recall and weigh the blessings in our lives and naturally focus on our current challenges. What the psalmist has demonstrated to us was that when we look beyond our current challenges and difficulties and look also at the blessings of God in our lives, we can then truly declare that my Lord has been good. It was a challenge. The natural instinct is to look at what we are going through. It's almost impossible to take our eyes away from that. I'm not asking you to ignore them. But I'm asking you that as you deal with your current challenges, as you deal with your current circumstances and difficulties, also look at the blessings of God in your life, past and present, and declare that my Lord has been good. And then in that, we can find rest even in our current challenges. See, gratitude leads us to a state of rest in the midst or even of storms. We should not just give thanks to God for the extraordinary blessings in our lives. Give thanks also for the ordinary things in our lives. Give thanks for our family. When's the last time that we remember the blessing of our family? Give thanks for our friends. Give thanks for our job. Give thanks for our church. Give thanks for our health. Give thanks for even all these ordinary things. You know, it is not about psyching ourselves up to be grateful. It is about bringing into remembrance all the things that we should be grateful for and thankful for. So summarizing this first point, the psalmist pointed out from verses 1 to 11 that there are many reasons for us to be grateful to God. We ought to be grateful for a God who hears our prayers. Grateful for a God who is gracious, compassionate, and righteous. We should be grateful for a God who preserves us. We ought to be grateful because God has been good to us. I'm sure that there are some low points in this past year. Maybe we are at the low point even currently. But we can take a step back, look at our blessings while acknowledging the challenges that we are facing and still declare that my God has been good. You are very serious this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I thank God for many things and I thank God for you." Come on. Sometimes the person sitting right next to you is the person you acknowledge the least in thanking God for. Because, yeah, your spouse, your family members, and they are the greatest reason for your gratitude. Amen. Let us now switch gears and look at how we ought to respond to the goodness of God. Now, after looking at why we should be thankful, let us now look at our response when we remember the goodness of God. In verse 12, I pointed out earlier, and it says, "What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me?" The psalmist asks himself why he should return to the what he should return to the Lord for his goodness. He was asking himself how he should respond to the goodness of God. Similarly, as we recall the goodness of God in our lives, how should we respond? Let us look at what the psalmist suggested to us from verses 13 to 19. All right, our response to his goodness. What's the first thing that the psalmist pointed out as a response in verse 13? He says, the psalmist suggested for us to lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. What did the psalmist mean? What kind of response to that gratitude towards God? I was reading several commentaries on this verse. You know, lifting the cup of salvation and calling on the name of the Lord is understood to be to acknowledge, to appreciate, and to receive the Lord's salvation for us. Lifting up the cup of salvation is actually to acknowledge, to appreciate, and to receive also, again, afresh, the Lord's salvation for us. It's to acknowledge that through Christ we can and should receive the gift of salvation. You see, the instinct after receiving the goodness of God, you know, is to rationalize what we can give in return for God's goodness, right? We know when you read verse 12, the very instinct is that, well, what can I give back to God? But actually what the psalmist was saying, that the first response to God is to acknowledge the saving grace of the Lord. See, it was never meant to be a transactional relationship because we can never return enough to the Lord. Our response to God's goodness demonstrates our attitude towards the blessings of God in our lives. When we are grateful to the Lord, I believe that the Lord will be pleased. And that's the first response that we should give back unto the Lord as we recall His goodness, which is our gratitude, which is our appreciation unto the Lord. You know, just like parents giving gifts to the children, our greatest satisfaction is the appreciation and the gratitude of our children. It is not what they can return to us. It's about how they receive our gifts and blessings. Of course, when they grow up, they give you money, it's all good. Continue to do that, children, all right? But, you know, as parents, the greatest satisfaction is the appreciation from our children. You know, when we give them gifts, when we bless them, when we care for them. And it is the same with God. I think the greatest blessing back unto God is our gratitude, our appreciation for the Lord. And chief among that is our gratitude for our salvation in our lives. Number two, in verse 14, he says, I will fulfill my vows unto the Lord. What is our next response to our gratitude? The psalmist suggested that we should keep our promises to the Lord when we are grateful for what He has done in our lives. You know, in modern times, we might not relate to the word vow so well. In NLT, it says, I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of His people. I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of His people. The psalmist felt that this is such an important response that he repeated the call in verse 18. He says, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in verse 18. So what does it mean to keep our promises or fulfill our vows? What are our promises to the Lord? I would like to categorize our vows or our promises into personal promises and corporate promises. All right, let's look at personal promises and also corporate promises. What are our personal promises to the Lord? Firstly, there are promises inherent to our decision to follow Jesus. When we gave our lives to Jesus, we decided to follow Him as His disciples. And inherent to this decision is to have no other gods apart from Him. Inherent to this decision is to obey His commandment for us. This includes the commandment to love God and to love our neighbors. We are to obey His commission for us to make disciples. So our response to His goodness to us is to keep our promises to follow Him all the days of our lives and to live our lives pleasing to Him. And that is one promise that we should return unto the Lord and that we should uphold and that we should keep when we are grateful to the Lord continue to walk our journey as disciples of Christ who are obedient to God well and follow Him wholeheartedly. Secondly, there are also personal promises that we could have made individually to the Lord. Perhaps the Lord has spoken about something specific and we had made a personal promise to the Lord. Maybe some of us had made personal decisions and promises to serve God in a full-time capacity. Maybe some of us had dedicated our careers in the marketplace to honor God. Maybe some of us have dedicated our lives to missions. Whatever the promises that we have made unto the Lord, may our gratitude motivate us to fulfill these promises unto the Lord. As we remember the goodness of God in our lives, let us also remember our promises to the Lord. This is sometimes not an easy thing. Now, I left my job in the commercial world early in my career to join the armed forces because I told the Lord then I wanted to continue impacting young lives, young people, especially those who have yet to know the Lord. So I dedicated my career to these purposes that I promised that, you know, to God. You know, I promised God that in my career, I will honor you. I will focus first, you know, on this purpose. But as my career progressed and I have enjoyed the blessings of God in my life, in my career, there were several times when I realized that I had actually drifted away from the promise that I've made before the Lord. You see, the blessings in my life were supposed to inspire me to keep my promise, but instead, I realized that some of these blessings in my life had distracted me from keeping my promise. At these several junctures, I had to confess that my blessings had distracted me from my promise to God instead of inspiring me to keep my promise. Do we need to recalibrate some of our focus, our personal promises unto the Lord in our lives? I pray that as we recall the goodness in our lives, we also recall our personal promises unto the Lord. And may the goodness of God inspire us to fulfill these promises unto the Lord. Let me now move on to what I call the corporate promises. What are they? What I mean when I say that we also have corporate promises to the Lord, I mean promises we make corporately as a group. For example, maybe you have dedicated your business or your company, if you are a business owner, that your company will follow godly principles and be a blessing to others. How has that promise fared in the face of the competitive business world? We also make promises to God as a church. Our church leaders promise God that we will be a blessing to the people of Hau Kang if God gave us this land, this church land. We promise God that we will preach the gospel and pastor the community. And how have we fared in this corporate promise to the Lord? You might be saying, you know, you may be thinking in your heart it was the pioneers who promised God and I did not, right? But you know what's the truth? And you join this church, too bad you already joined the promise too, right? Let me tell you that. But that's it. If you're not convinced, don't stop coming to church next week, lah, right? May the Lord convict us of this promise that we have made together, you know, as a family, as a church to the Lord. You know, it sounds like a dangerous thing to say, but I'm convinced that it will be difficult for you to find yourself belonging to this church unless you're convinced of the call upon this church and the promise that we made unto the Lord. This is because this is not a church that it is easy, you know, to come and to be a perpetual consumer. But this church believes that, you know, we need to walk our journey as disciples of Christ, and that includes blessing the Lord and to love our neighbors. Of course, there's a season for some, all of us, for each one of us. Maybe some of us are going through a season of healing and mercy, of recovery. But at a certain point, I pray that you will also join us in this corporate promise and vow unto the Lord. So the question is to ourselves is how we are fed in this promise to God as a church, as a cell group, and as individual. Do we recognize the blessings and goodness of God to us, to our church, to our group, to our business? And when we look and remember all these promises, all these blessings of God, you know, to us individually and to us as a group, whether it be in a company or in a church, what is our response unto the Lord? Let me move on. What was the third response that the psalmist suggested in Psalm 116? when we reflect on the goodness of God. And he said that in verse 15 and 16. He encouraged us to serve the Lord till we meet him. As a response to God's goodness. Serve the Lord till we meet him. Verse 15 to 16, it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I'm your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. The psalmist said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. It is not that the Lord rejoices over the death of his servants, but the psalmist was saying that it is precious to the Lord that his servants walk faithfully till they meet him. This is what the verse means. See, that the Lord, it is very precious to the Lord that his servants walk faithfully till the day they meet him. It is precious to the Lord that his people run the race well and finish the race. In verse 16, the psalmist then recounted again that he is God's servant. As we remember the goodness of God in our lives, may it inspire us to serve the Lord till we meet him. Not just serving the Lord, but to serve the Lord till we meet him. In verse 16, the psalmist said that he served God just as his mother did. The psalmist emulated the example of his mother to serve God. May we also learn to teach the generations after us to do the same. That we must recognize the goodness of God in our lives and we must respond in gratitude. And we must respond even in servanthood till the day we meet God. Fourthly, the fourth response as we remember God's goodness, which is to learn to constantly give thanks and to worship him. Verse 17, it says, I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. The psalmist declared that he will sacrifice a thank offering in worship unto the Lord. A thank offering is an offering of worship to thank God for what he has done. In Leviticus 7, it was mentioned that the thank offering is an expression of thankfulness. It is a worship offering to the Lord to thank him. When we recall the goodness of God, what is our response? Are we thankful? Are we grateful? Gratitude is an important value. It points us constantly to the goodness of God. It inspires us to thank God. It inspires us to worship God. May we always remember the goodness of God and may we always worship God in gratitude for what he has done. Allow me to give you one final response that we ought to have when we remember God's goodness. Although this was not explicit in Psalms 116. When we recognize the goodness of God in our lives, learn also to do good to others. Recalling the goodness of God in our lives, it must inspire us to do good to others as well. Earlier, we spoke about how the goodness of God should inspire us to serve him. We spoke about how we ought to keep our personal and corporate promises unto God. In keeping our corporate promise is to love our community, the needy and the lost. You know, I was alluding to the goodness of God upon us individually and as a church, and they should inspire us to continue to do good. Our gratitude should inspire us to do good. In Matthew 10, Jesus sent his 12 disciples to minister in the villages and towns. He instructed them to proclaim that the kingdom of God was near. He instructed them to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, and drive out demons. He then gave them these words in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8b. He said to his disciples, freely you had received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. The disciples were not sick, nor did they have leprosy, but they had received the privilege and blessing of serving Jesus. They had freely received the spiritual gifts to minister to others. They had ministered and they had witnessed the goodness of God in their lives. Now, they were instructed to give freely, just as they had received freely. One response to the goodness of God in our lives is to do good to others around us. This is an important value if you want to continue to do good. Be grateful for what we have done. Be grateful for what the Lord has done for us and given us. Be grateful for the goodness of God. And may this goodness and remembrance of the goodness of God inspire us also to pass it on, to do good to others. That's why I said that gratitude is an important value that we need to have if we want to continue to do good to others. Remembering how the Lord has at first been good to us, it must inspire us to also to do the same unto the others, so that they too will experience the goodness of God. In conclusion, as I invite the worship team to come and prepare to minister to us, and you can put aside your notes and all, I think, you know, for a message like that, it is more important for us, you know, to take a step back, not just to remember what we learn in our heads, but to check our hearts for our response unto the Lord. Allow me to conclude this sermon by asking you this question. How has your year been? How has your year been? Has your year been full of good memories and blessings? Maybe this year you enjoyed the blessing of a promotion. Maybe some of us got married this year or had a child. Maybe some of us experienced answered prayers in times of need. Today we are reminded to be grateful to the Lord who has been good to us. But perhaps this year had not been so great for some of us. Maybe some of us had experienced the loss of loved ones. Maybe some of us got retrenched at work. Maybe some of us had been sick and maybe still battling with illness. You might have been praying for a specific need, but yet to receive the answers and the deliverance from the Lord. By many counts, maybe this is not exactly a great year. This is not easy. But when we look back and all the other blessings in lives that we are still enjoying, that the Lord had preserved us, that despite all these things, that the Lord still cares for us, even though sometimes in our challenges it might not be easy to conclude so. Thank God that we have our family and our friends who are walking with us even through these tough times. Will you choose to look at these blessings more than the challenges that we are facing? It is not easy. I don't want to belittle that. I'm saying that it is not easy. I'm encouraging us to do what the psalmist did. Now, acknowledging that we are in great distress and challenges, but to choose instead to look at the God who preserved him, the God who cares for him, God who has been good to him. When we are grateful to the Lord for his goodness, what is then our response? Do we quickly forget the blessings and his goodness? Are we just happy to enjoy the blessings and be thankful? Or will we also ask ourselves, what can I return to the Lord for his goodness? Continue to appreciate what God has done for us. Fulfill our promises to him. Serve the Lord till the day we meet him. Do good to others since we have first received the goodness of God. Always be thankful and let it well up in a desire to worship God in thanksgiving. You know, in a short while, we will worship the Lord in a song of thanksgiving. And I thought that that is the best way that we could express our gratitude unto the Lord this morning, to worship the Lord and say that, God, you are good. You have been good. You are good. Let our praise to the Lord comes from our hearts of thanksgiving, for the Lord has been good. But I also want to give a chance for some of us to take a position of faith and thanksgiving even in our challenges. And this is what we're going to do. When we sing later, sing it with all your heart, but I want to give the chance for two groups of people to respond. And I'm not asking you to come to the altar so that we pray for you, but today we shall lift up a thank offering unto the Lord for His goodness to us. So for the first group, you have experienced extraordinary blessings from God this year. Or even if you remember how the Lord has continued to bless you with what you have, maybe the Lord has healed you. Maybe the Lord has answered a specific prayer. But will you come to the altar in thanksgiving unto the Lord? It is a declaration of the goodness and the deliverance of our God in our lives. Come to the Lord, come to the altar and say, God, this is my offering of praise unto you. This is my thanksgiving unto you. This is your glory, God, for all that you have done. Because God, your goodness has been over my life. Come to the altar as an offering unto the Lord and say, God, I thank you. And let us join you in thanksgiving. But if for the second group, but if you have faced a challenging year, it has been difficult, but today you want to take a position of faith by recalling that God has been good and that He will deliver you, will you also come and take a position of thanksgiving and faith? We want to stand with you as a family, but more importantly, we want to testify that through it all, God has been good and God is good and God will deliver me. Take a step of faith in thanksgiving and say, God, in this difficult year, I bring it before you, but I will testify that you have been good and you will deliver me. Will you do that? I just invite you to stand to your feet. Let's worship the Lord. And the Lord is challenging you, come, make this altar as an altar of thanksgiving unto the Lord, shall we? Let's praise God.
My praise
and pour out a song
from my heart.
Declare it.
But the altar is open. Just stand, take a position of thanksgiving unto the Lord. Just come, all right? Just come.
Good, and your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good. Good, and your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever.
Declare it.
Your kindness is forever.
Yes, Lord.
Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever. Forever. Your kindness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever. Forever, your kindness is forever.
Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever. Forever,
your kindness is forever.
Father, this altar, on this altar is an offering of praise and thanksgiving unto you, because God, we want to declare together with our brothers and sisters at the altar, and Lord, you are good, and Lord, you have been good, and God, you will deliver us, God. Lord, we want to thank you. We thank you for every answered prayer that they're offering as thanksgiving back to you. We want to thank you for every blessing that you have placed into their lives. And Lord, even right now, as they lift it up back to you, may you be glorified, God. And Lord, we want to say that only you and you alone shall be glorified, because you alone is our good God. We thank you. We praise you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. And Father, we also want to pray for our brothers and sisters who are lifting up, Father, the petition of faith and thanksgiving to you despite their difficult circumstances. Lord, we stand with them. We pray for them. We declare over them as they recall the goodness of God in the past, even right now. Lord, we want to stand with them in faith that, Lord, you will deliver them, because God, you are our good God, and we praise you, God. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. Declare it together.
Your kindness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever. Forever. Your kindness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever. Forever. You are good.
Declare it.
You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good. You are good, and your mercy is forever.
Yes, God. And now may the love of the Father, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit, and the reminder that our God is always good, be with us today and forevermore. For we pray all this in the Lord's most precious name, and let all God's people declare, Amen.